said this. It said, "You may speak but a word to a child, and in that child there may be slumbering a noble heart, which shall stir the Christian church in years to come." This morning, we will be thinking about our children. And as we think about children this morning, it's good to remind ourselves that every child is a gift to us from God. Whether that child is your child because it's part of your family, whether that child belongs to a Christian family, or whether it is a visitor to our church or comes here every week, every child is a gift to our church from God. We love having the children that we have here. It is really special and precious to us. And many churches would just love to have the children that we do have. But with a gift from God comes a responsibility to look after that gift well. And so this morning we recognize not just the children in our church, but also those who spend their time throughout the year teaching and equipping our children to have foundations for faith that we pray will last them for eternity, forever. So this morning we recognize and thank everyone who's part of our children's work. Our children, in a sense, are a mission field. Our leaders, our helpers in Creche, in Bright Sparks, Ignite and DNA, they share their faith with our children and young people week by week. And sometimes they have the great privilege of seeing the children and young person actually commit to following Jesus, and that is absolutely wonderful. And on other occasions, that may happen later or elsewhere. Now, if we say that our children are a mission field, using it in the broad term, then we also recognize that at times it's going to be difficult. So for the leaders and helpers here this morning, we recognize the work you put in. Not just on a Sunday morning when you disappear out, but also in the evenings. And the weekends you spend preparing, making sure that what you deliver is the highest quality you can manage. So this morning, we're thinking about the children who come to church. And in a moment, we'll be celebrating some of the amazing things that have been happening in the past year in our children's work. But just for a moment, I want you to think about the place of children in our church life. We often say that children come to church. Or we may say something like, "It's great we have children in our church." I've already said that just in the last couple of moments, haven't I? It's great we have children in church. But what if we turn the statement around just a little bit? What if if we're saying there's children in church, we're actually missing something a little bit? What if there's a church in this child? Now, there's a child in the church, but there's a church in the child. We've got two readings this morning, two bits of the talk. First reading, Mark chapter 10. Just going to read from verse 13. It's very short, but it's hugely significant. This incident takes place amongst various parts of Jesus' teaching, and we're told that people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Well, I think that's an amazing passage of Scripture. It's something that has a lot to say to us this morning. So I've got one or two questions that I'd like you to try and think about. If we could, with the person beside you, the little groups that you've come in this morning, maybe we could try and ask these questions together. Have we got the questions to come up on the screen, Peter? I'll read them out. Here are the questions. What were the people doing? So if you've got access to the Bible or you've got it on your phone or something, have a look down. What were the people doing? Why was Jesus indignant with his disciples? And what did Jesus mean when he talked to his disciples? Okay, so how about just in little groups you've come in, or find somebody if you've come on your own. What were the people doing, first of all? Have a little chat amongst yourselves and see if you can answer that question. Why? Oh, you'd have to Why was Jesus indignant? And what did Jesus mean? Those questions are up there if you can see them. Okay, shall I call you back together? Because that's great. Okay, anyone want to fire out some answers here? I'll ask the question, see if you've got an answer. What were the people doing? Bringing their children to Jesus, yes. Okay, why was Jesus indignant with his disciples? That's what it says, isn't it? Just check that I haven't got the one. Why was Jesus indignant then? What was wrong? Yes, because the disciples were sending them away. They were rebuking the parents, we presume, or the adults who were bringing the children to Jesus. So what did Jesus mean when he talked to his disciples? We stumped you on this one? What did he mean? So have a simpler faith, accepting Jesus just the way like a child might. It's interesting. Anyone else want to be brave enough to venture an answer? Yeah, Chris?
It's easier for children to learn than adults.
It's easier for children to learn than adults. Because there's debate about that over the barbecue maybe later on. Here's another question, which I asked myself, so don't answer it because I've got the answer just coming up. But when I looked at this, I thought, I wonder what the word indignant means. I wonder what that word must mean. Well, according to the dictionary, the word indignant means anger and annoyance provoked by what is perceived as unfair treatment. In other words, this we read from Mark chapter 10, Jesus was angry and annoyed by what he perceived to be as unfair treatment. What was the unfair treatment? It was the disciples rebuking the people because they were bringing little children for Jesus to place his hands on them. And then I asked myself, I thought, well, I wonder what that word rebuke means. And it says in the dictionary again, to express sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their behavior or actions. The disciples criticized people who were bringing little children to Jesus for Jesus to place his hands on them. That then led to another question in my mind. Why was Jesus placing his hands on the children's heads? And then that reminded me that last week we spoke about Hebrews chapter 6, where we read about what Hebrews calls the elementary teachings, the basic Christian teachings, which included the laying on of hands. And last week, the speaker said, because it was me, I had to go back and check, why was that happening? Why were people laying hands on one another? And according to my study notes and stuff, it said to commission people or to heal them. If we accept that the children coming to Jesus on the whole were in good health, then the only other reason we can see that Jesus would be placing hands on them is to commission them, to ordain them, to send them out with a God-given purpose. In other words, when people are bringing their children to Jesus, it is for more than a pat on the head. I don't know, children, if any of you have got relatives who, when they see you, they sort of ruffle your hair like that. I absolutely hated that when I was a child. Look what happened to my hair as a result. This is not them bringing them to Jesus. Jesus goes, there, there, nice child, or whatever the words are. Jesus is commissioning the children. He is saying to them, you are more than just children who come to church. There wasn't church as such then. These were children who were not here to be entertained or kept quiet while the adults got on with the serious business. In other words, Jesus is laying his hands on them and saying, you are my church now in the present. In other words, the children we have in our church today are not the future of the church. They are not waiting for you and I to pass on to heaven so they can get on with church. They are here now to do the business of God's kingdom. Children are not just the future, they are the church today. So this morning, as we hear about what's been going on over the past little while with our children, let's think about that act that Jesus was involved with. And let's consider how we can really value the gifts, the skills, and the insights that each child we've been gifted brings to our church today. There's a church in this child. Shall we invite, is it Rebecca, you coming up first? Invite Rebecca and the team to come up for the presentation. There we go.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. Right, so we do presentations for all the children. I celebrate them once a year. Well, we celebrate them all year round, but, you know, particularly on today. So we're going to start with the Creche children. So when I say your name, if you want to come up and get a little prize, and if you want to, you can bring mummy or daddy with you or whoever, if you're not quite sure about coming up, okay? Eve. There you go. Now, what's your favourite thing about Creche? I like the playing. The playing is the best thing about Creche. Brilliant. Do you want to stay at the front for a minute with all the other children that come up? Okay. Is Jenny here today? Jenny and Imogen? No. Nathan? I think I saw you at the back there. Nathan, do you want to come up here? Brilliant. Got a book? That's for you. Bert, you're welcome. What's your favourite thing about Creche?
Creche is my favourite part.
Your favourite part is Creche, just Creche, just in general. Creche is great. Noah? Oh, no, they're not here, are they? No. Stefan? What's your favourite thing about Creche? Not sure. The red car. The red car is the best thing about Creche. Do you want to hear that's for you? Okay.
Thank you.
Simon, don't think the white ones are here, are they? No. And Ollie, are they here? No. Okay. Right. So shall we say, well done to the Creche children. Yay! Brilliant. Do you want to go and sit down? Right, so now we're moving on to Bright Sparks. That is for children aged, reception up to year two. So let's see who we've got. Katie, do you want to come up? What's your favourite thing about Bright Sparks? It's all right if you don't have an answer. Don't have an answer. Are you all right to wait up here for a minute? Yeah? Okay. tutor assistant to come up as well. Sarah? Do you want to tell me your favourite thing about Bright Sparks? What is it?
It's really fun there, and you get to do fun activities there.
Really fun, and you get to do fun activities. There you go, that's for you. Sophia. Okay. What's your favourite thing about Bright Sparks?
Craft.
The craft. The craft is the favourite thing. I'm learning, so you now I know what all the favourite things are. Eleni? There you go. What's your favourite thing about Bright Sparks? Craft as well. Craft is a popular activity. Seb? And Mummy, what's your favourite thing about Bright Sparks?
Everything.
Everything is the favourite thing. There you go. There's your book. Petrus? I think we're very apt. You've got superheroes of the Bible and you've got superhero characters on your T-shirt. You knew. What's your favourite thing about Bright Sparks?
Making things.
Brilliant. Finley? They're not here. No, they're not there. Right. Brilliant. So we give a big round of applause for all the Bright Sparks children. Brilliant. Do you want to go and sit down? Right, now we're moving on to Ignite. They start getting bigger and bigger. So this is for about year three up to year six, approximately. And so, shall we get started? The Lloyds aren't here this morning, are they? No. I'll give these to you afterwards, Helen, you can pass them on. Have we got Esther O. What's your favourite thing about Ignite?
The crafts.
It's still about the crafts, no matter what age you are. You're right today at the front? Yeah. James Tapp? What's your favourite thing?
I like the mystery zone.
He likes a mystery zone. So for those of you that aren't aware, we have four zones in Ignite that they can explore around the children. So we have a digging deeper, a creative zone, a quiet zone, and a mystery zone. And you never know what's going to be in the mystery zone week on week. So, Ari, is Ari here? Do you want to take it? Jazeera, you here, Jesse? Yeah, back. What's your favourite thing about Ignite?
My favourite thing about Ignite is like doing craft and having fun.
Doing craft and having fun. Brilliant. Jonathan? What's your favourite thing?
My favourite thing is being able to do the craft and the mystery zone.
Craft and mystery zone. Sometimes the mystery zone has craft. Oh, it's crazy. Ellie, they're not here. May. Is Maisie? Maisie's not here. No, you can take it afterwards. Lene? What's your favourite thing?
I like doing the creative zone and the quiet zone.
Creative and the quiet zone. Quite often they get to read books and things in the quiet zone. Right, Cara? Okay, okay. What's your favourite thing?
The quiet zone and the craft.
Quiet zone and the craft. There's a lot of repetition. Okay. Right, there's one more, but I'm going to hold on to this one. Right, so should we say a big congratulations to Ignite? I'm going to sit down. Now, I have one more person that's leaving Ignite and going up to DNA. So, Becca, do you want to come up? See, I've known Becca since she was, and she's grown, gone through the ranks, as it were. And this is for you. And so Becca has agreed that as long as I don't tell any embarrassing stories about her, that she's happy to come up and have a little chat about what she's up to next from next year. So do you want to tell everyone what school you're going to?
I'm going to Bulmersh.
She's going to Bulmersh. Anything new or exciting you're going to do differently next year? Are you looking forward to it? Or?
Well, there's like goals there which you can go to at lunchtime.
So that's the football?
Yeah.
The football pitch is right next to the school. Becca is a big football fan. So that's for you. And we're just going to say a little prayer for Becca as she goes up to secondary school and starts. So we're going to say, Dear God, thank you for Becca. Thank you for the lovely, kind and creative and caring person that she has grown to be. And we pray that you would help her in her transition going up to secondary school, that you'd be with her, support her, that she'd find new friends, that she'd settle in quickly, and that she'd have loads of fun going along to Goals Football. Amen. Brilliant. Thank you very much. So I wanted to say also, normally I do a presentation, but I had a baby, so I didn't quite get around to doing that this year. But I want to say a really big thank you to all the people that lead and help in Creche, DNA, Ignite, and Bright Sparks. And I was wondering if anyone that does helping could just stand up for a moment, or leading, or anything in these groups, just so we can see who the people are in our church that are serving in this way. And I just want to say, can we say a big round of applause to all these people doing this? If you want. But we're always looking to find people that have giftings for working with children and young people. And working with children and young people is a really exciting thing. It's sometimes a scary thing. Sometimes you get asked very odd questions. You get asked very exciting questions. You get challenged. And you have loads of fun. And it's really exciting to see how the children grow in their understanding, their questioning, their faith, and their journey with Jesus. And so we're always wanting to see if there are other people that want to explore if this is a gifting that is right for them. So I'd like just to spend a moment just to pray, and I'd like you all to pray for the children and young people in our church, and pray for those that are involved in the groups, and that pray for anybody new that maybe if you want to explore a gifting that you might have or a way of serving. All you have to do to serve is, well, there's you have to do a DBS check. That's the only formal thing you've got to do. But other than that, it's just about coming along and helping out and being really just walking and sitting and sticking and colouring alongside the kids as they journey with Jesus. And so if that is something that you want to explore, then please come and speak to me or any of the leadership team at any point. And we're thinking maybe we might do some kind of training or exploring that about working with children and young people in the future, if that's something you want to try and get involved in. And so if you do, then just come and speak to us afterwards. So let's just pray for a moment for all our children and young people. So, dear God, thank you for every single child in this church, right from the youngest to the oldest. And we thank you for the blessings that they are to us, individually as in families and in our church family. Thank you that we can see them grow in their journey with Jesus. And we pray that they would walk along, you'd walk alongside them in that journey, that you would show yourself to them, and that they would have a really fun time in all the different groups finding out about you. We also pray that you would thank you for all the leaders and helpers and everyone that gets involved in the children and young people's work in our church. And I pray that you would show, if anyone else wants to explore a gifting in that area, that you would send those people and just show them to us and reveal that to us, Lord, and so that we can continue on with the children and young people work in bigger and better and more exciting ways and everything that we do. Amen. That was a very garbled prayer. I apologize. I think I'm handing over to DNA now.
Thanks very much, Rebecca. I think God understands garbled prayers, so I don't think you have to worry about that one. DNA this year has been really exciting. The awards and nominations this year were voted for by the DNNers themselves, and one of my DNNers has done a presentation, which I hope you will enjoy. So I'm going to invite him up to the front. I'm also going to invite Keith up to the front to present the awards. Okay, so excuses for a minute. So we have a variety of awards this year, as we did last year. We have some amazing prizes this year. We have two booby prizes and some bespoke vouchers. Okay, these bespoke vouchers are a new initiative from DNA, and I quite fancy some of them. So they've been designed exclusively by a DNA leader. This one entitles the bearer to £15 when presented at McDonald's. Quite fancy it myself. Okay.
£15.
I think it's entitled. It's not just for one person. I would point out that particular. Okay, designed for at least two. And DNNers eat a lot, we know that. Okay. So I'm going to hand over to Daniel, who's going to read the nominations and tell us who the winner is. Yeah. And then, Keith, I'm going to give you the vouchers to present to the young people so anybody who's here can come up.
Yep, great.
Okay, so this year we've had 8 different categories for nominations, all voted by the people in DNA. And to begin, we have the Best Comedian Award. There are a considerable amount of comedians, and it's true. And the people who are candidates are Andrew, Chris, Aaron, and Cameron. So, the winner for this category is Chris. So then we have the award for the Best Giraffe. The Best Giraffe Award is not for being tall, although we have a lot of tall people. Instead, the Best Giraffe Award is for the people who stick their necks out the most for others.
Makes sense.
So, the people in this award are Aaron, Chris, Jess, Ollie, and Hannah. The winner for this category is Jess. Then there's the Best at Being Engaged. There are 4 nominations for this category: Raha, me, Ed, and Jess. And the winner for this category was Raha.
Well done, Raha.
Then there's the Best at Being Quiet. Only 3 nominations for this. These were Chris, Emily, and Leanne. And the winner for this category was Emily.
It's because you can't eat Pringles quietly.
Then there's the Best Team Player. We had a lot of nominations for this. We had Emily, Michael, Ollie, Andrew, Raha, and Chris. And we had a joint winner between Ollie and Chris. Now again, we've got one which has a lot of people. For Best at Being Loud. This is done between Cameron, Daniel, Hannah, and another Hannah. And the winner for this one is Hannah Wilson.
You get the sweets which must be eaten quietly.
Then there's the Best Newcomer Award. There have been 4 newcomers over for the sequence of this year. So there's been me, Cameron, Hannah, and Aaron. The joint winner of this is Cameron and Aaron.
Well
then finally, we have the best at encouraging. We had 5 people nominated for this category, which were Jess, Cameron, Andrew, Ollie, and also Ed, which isn't on the screen. And the winner for this was Ed.
Thank you very much, Daniel. So this year, as far as we know, we lose Ed. I'm hoping that he might come next Sunday. He will be going to university. His family are also moving house and won't be part of LEBC anymore. So if we see him next week, somebody please remind him that he won the award for being the most encouraging. We're really going to miss him, okay? I too would like to say a prayer for Ed as he goes away to university, and also to say thank you for all the leaders and helpers in DNA. We had a new leader this year. I think he's going to stay with us next year. So Steve Wilson joined us this year. I'm really appreciative of his help. We also had a new helper, and that was Ella, and I think she might also stay on. So I'm thinking this might be good news. But it's been a busy and interesting year at DNA. So if we could just say a quick prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for all our young people in this church. Pray that you would be with them as they make life-changing decisions. Pray that you would help us support them. And pray that we would show interest in them. Pray that you would help them make the right decisions, that they would find you for themselves, Lord, as their own and personal Savior. Thank you for all of them. Pray that you would bless them, and pray that you'd be with them, whether they stay with us next year or not, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, everyone. That's been so encouraging. Wasn't that just so encouraging to see so many people and to hear about the different things that have been going on over the past year? Just a little message for Hannah. Don't forget your braces with all these sweets. Otherwise, we could be in trouble tomorrow. But children in our church, and we've seen many of them this morning. Isn't that wonderful? But what about this idea of there being a church in this child? A church should be a worshiping community, and we've worshipped already this morning with prayers and sung worship, but it also should be a witnessing community. It should be a place where we go out and tell others the good news about Jesus. In Matthew 28, we read, Jesus said to them, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." And then earlier, before we had the presentations, we read from Mark 10:16, and Jesus took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Twice in that short little reading we had earlier from Mark, Jesus is described as placing his hands on the children. We need to note, particularly in our culture today, that it's a very public act. It's not done in secret. It's done in front of everyone. It's also a commissioning act. Jesus is saying that children should not be restricted from coming to faith, nor should they be restricted from sharing their faith. If you're a children or a young person here this morning, it's good to think not just about the fun you have in Sunday Club, in Ignite and Bright Sparks and DNA, but also, how are you engaging with your faith? Are you really owning your own faith in Jesus? And if you are you able to share something of that faith with your friends and those people you know? If Jesus is saying that children should not be restricted, in a sense, what is Jesus commissioning them for? Matthew 28. Just like he commissions adults, so he commissions children to be his disciples. We are commissioned, all of us here, regardless of our age, whether we're the oldest in the church or the youngest, whether we're visiting the church this morning for the first time or whether we come here every week, if at all possible. Jesus has commissioned us. Now, we might say, well, Jesus hasn't put his hands on our shoulders or our head because Jesus isn't physically here. But Jesus still commissions us to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach obedience to Jesus' commands. Well, as you came in this morning, hopefully you received a piece of paper like this and a pen. Is that right? If you haven't, there's some here at the front. Just come and grab it if you didn't got missed out for any reason. What I'm going to ask us to do is... thank you, Richard. If there's anyone else who's missing, just put your hands up if you're missing a piece of paper at the moment. One or two. Great. So what I thought is when you get a piece of paper, if you could put your hand, you might need to work with someone to do this, put your hand on what is currently a white piece of paper and draw the outline of your hand shape. I was going to say your five fingers and a thumb, but you may have that many, but four fingers and a thumb, I suppose. So once you've got the outline of your hand, so just draw it around, or get someone to draw around your hand if you, a bit like me, don't almost manage these things. Okay, once we have the hand outline, we're going to write just a couple of words. The first word, put it in one of the fingers or your thumb. You want to write down Jesus, because all discipleship starts with Jesus. So if you can, write down the word Jesus, or write down the letter for Jesus. And then if we just move along, the next finger or whatever it is you've got there, put your name. Don't write your name, write your name. So I've written Keith, but don't you write Keith, because there should only be one Keith here. Write your name, whatever your name is, because faith in Jesus involves us personally accepting it. It's going to involve us. So Jesus commissions us. And then the interesting thing is, Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to all the ends of the earth. So besides Jesus, Keith, the next one along, I've put, well, I wonder what the equivalent of that would be. It probably would be our family, wouldn't it? So you might want to write down some names of your family. Your mum, your dad, uncle, auntie, cousins, anything that you can think of in your family. Because when Jesus commissions us to serve, often it will be in our families that we serve first, because they see us so often. They see us when we're getting ready for school, when we come in from school, when we're having dinner, when we're here in the holidays. Some in our family may not know Jesus, and we want to put their names down. So we got Jesus, we got our own name, and remember, so we got one or two names in people of our families who don't know Jesus yet. And then I've put down friends as the next finger along. And maybe we want to think of any of our friends who don't know Jesus. And maybe we want to put one or two names down there of friends who don't know Jesus. And then the final one, as they say in all the best radio phone-ins, is anyone else who knows us. I put others. This could be a country, a place, or a situation that we feel God has really said we should be praying about. So I'll just recap again. I've got Jesus at the starting point, my name, perhaps some names from our families who don't know Jesus, some names of some friends who don't know Jesus, and perhaps one or two other places where we feel that God has called us to pray about them. So Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Charles Spurgeon, who we mentioned right at the beginning of our first talk this morning, said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. In other words, all of us, if we follow Jesus, are to be sharing our faith with others. So I thought it might be quite good this morning to commission each other to serve in the name of Jesus, to take the good news of Jesus to our families, our friends, and to others. And I thought we could pray. And I thought, as we pray, why don't we lay hands on each other? But not these hands, these hands. Would that make sense? So why don't we stand? And if you could just put your piece of paper on someone's shoulder, and I'll lead us in prayer. So don't worry, you don't have to touch anybody, just the piece of paper. So let's stand. And you can lay it forwards or sideways. Okay, so let me... let me lead a little prayer then. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you know us and love us. We thought about our children this morning, and we thank you that we can know you for real, whatever our age is. We pray for people in our families who do not yet know you, Jesus, and we would ask that they may come to be in a relationship, a friendship with you that is real, lifelong, and lasting. We also pray for our friends. We like spending time with them. We like playing with them and doing things with our friends. And we want to pray for friends who do not know you yet to come to faith in you. And we also pray for any situations or places that you've particularly put on our hearts to pray about this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that regardless of our age, regardless of our stage, you commission us to be your disciples. You commission us to share your good news. So, Lord Jesus, use us, we pray. And may the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our hearts and minds, and the actions of our bodies be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. So do remain standing, because we're going to invite the musicians back, and they're going to lead us in some song worship this morning.